Indeed, what a love it is. Please open up your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Children and parents, everyone in here benefits from this morning in some way, shape, or form. As we look to what obedience is, and two types of obedience really, and parents, what we are to do as it's related to how we are to raise our children. Children, this morning, someone is going to give you instructions, commands to obey, your entire life, really. There will always be rules to follow. There will always be commands to obey. God gives us commands from His Word to obey. Children, you are in the process of having your worldviews shaped. Kids, who are you obeying in your life? Parents, your children are going to learn new things each and every day. We know that. We say kids are like a sponge, and as they grow, they learn. Each and every day, what is their primary source of instruction? The war for the minds and souls of our children continues. Indoctrination from denying God to pushing evolution, which we've seen, destroying them in the womb. And if that doesn't work, reinvent and destroy the family. Allow them to have two moms or two dads. Then use media and entertainment outlets such as Netflix to push and to normalize perversion. We are at war. This is no time to retreat, brothers and sisters in Christ. As said before, this is no time to take our foot off the gas pedal. We are at war, a spiritual war. Children, you're responsible, commanded to obey your parents and to honor your parents. Parents, you are responsible to bring your children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, what does this mean? Let's seek to unpack this. Defining obedience, hearing and then doing, listening and then applying. The Greek word here puts together a prefix and a verb. So it's formed from the verb akouo, which means to hear, with the prefix hupo, which means under. So it means under hearing. This obedience, obeying your parents, be under their hearing. It is an imperative, which is a command. Hearing and then doing. Listening and then doing is obeying. Really, two types of obedience. There's obedience that is the response of a thankful heart, and there is obedience that is done begrudgingly. Theologians have distinguished these with terms that are not going to be on the final exam, called evangelical obedience and legal obedience. And that's how Ian Hamilton lays them out there. Legal obedience is done out of mere duty or in order to secure some type of advantage. So if I do this, I'm going to get this, therefore I should obey. It'll be easier for me, this kind of thing. Or evangelical obedience is done out of love, not to secure an advantage, but to express gratitude for kindness received. Think of the prodigal son account in the scriptures in Luke chapter 15. The older brother, towards the end, we see his reaction, served his father out of duty only, with a sour, non-loving spirit about him. Not honoring his father as he ought, he obeyed him, yet he disrespected him. He obeyed with reluctancy and disrespect. Well, what kind of obedience is Paul talking about here? Well, verse 2 clues us in when it says to honor your father and your mother. It's very easy to bring dishonor to our parents, isn't it? The phrase, dishonoring the name of our father. Dishonoring them. The right kind of obedience, which is the correct kind of obedience, is what the theologians call evangelical obedience. This is what the Bible calls us to. This is what God calls us to. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Now, we've seen and we've looked at wives and husbands, and next week, Lord willing, we'll look at slaves and masters, but here we see children, that children are to obey as well. Not just hearing what your parents say, doing what your parents ask you to do. And we remember, as we looked at before, that if someone in authority tells us to do something that is contrary to God's word, that is unbiblical, we are not to obey. We are to obey God rather than man. Well, we ask, do children always obey? Well, ask any parent in here, and they will give you an honest answer. It's interesting how sometimes when we, folks who don't know us, or folks who don't know us when we have children and they are around other people, and they say, wow, your children are so great. They're just like angels. And as we're driving away or leaving, we're like, yeah, maybe fallen angels. But so it's easy to see on the outside at times in different scenarios where kids will act a certain way, be a certain way, and then go home and live quite differently with their parents. Now, we've talked about fathers and mothers doing the same thing. Children, there's no excuse for you either. The Bible calls you to obey as well. Isn't it frustrating when you call a child's name? Now, we're not talking about 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. You know when the children, when you hear your name called and you understand, when they understand that the parent is calling them one time, two times, three times, four, and the child does not listen. The child is not responding and obeying. A child doing this is trained to only obey when the parent gets frustrated, when the parent gets angry, when the parent elevates a voice. They know that they do not have to listen to the until the parent gets angry for this, but this is not good. This is not obedience as it should be. Then maybe they will respond with an eye roll or respond with a what, then reluctantly do what the parents ask them to do as they stomp away. Children, this is not obeying your parents in the Lord. A few things to remember. The condition of a child without Christ. We are able to see rebellion and depravity, selfishness at an early age. Why? It's their nature. Born sinners, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22, "For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, also in Christ all will be made alive." So kids, children, listen to me this morning. And you think about, as you've played on a team maybe before, and you say, okay, this is our mascot, this is who we belong to on this team or this team. Does Adam represent who you are, your head? Or does Jesus Christ represent who you are? Is he your head? In Adam, dead in sin, in Christ, alive with Christ, dead to the domain of sin. Secondly, remember, parent, how you were as a physical child and as a child without Christ. We were all children at one point. We remember how we obeyed or disobeyed our parents. And as adults now, we have a better understanding of why we did not obey. We find reasons in the scriptures, don't we? We wanted our own way. We wanted our own stuff. And some of that is still true today, is it not? We all were rebels at some point and at some level against and towards our parents. Why? Well, we were rebelling against God, ultimately. No one had to teach us to sin. No one has to teach our children to sin, to lie, to hurt others, to be selfish, to disobey, to have a thankless heart. Rebellion ultimately is against God and God alone. So children, when you talk back to your parents and when you go in another room and you make gestures towards your parents that they cannot see and you say angry things to your parents when they cannot hear, you are ultimately rebelling against God and God alone. For God put your parents in your life. There's no way you could just come into this world without them. For we all had moms and dads at one point even. As we consider physical children, we remember that we are all in this room spiritual children. Either children of God, adopted into Christ's family, in the kingdom of God, or children of Satan, children of the devil, dead in sin, not in Christ, no neutral ground. There is no independent party. There is no neutrality. You either are for Jesus Christ or you are against him. We remember that we who are children of God, as physical children and adults, we are called to obey God. We have seen this in our study in Ephesians so far. We've seen this in chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness." And then we see in chapter 4, 17 and following, where we were before several weeks ago. "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self." And in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. We obey God and honor Christ. And because we learn of the deadly fruit and consequences of our sinful disobedience and the things that so easily entangle us, we seek to obey and honor God instead. Sometimes we learn the hard way, don't we? Sometimes, more times than often, we learn the hard way. Whether we're a child or an adult, we sometimes are like that disobedient child who hears their name called several times. As Christians, not audibly, obviously, but by the Holy Spirit of God convicting us and leading us in an area, and we try to say, no, no, no. Like the child who hears their parent and just does not listen. When we do not listen to God and his word, we oftentimes make foolish decisions, don't we? There's nothing like making just a dumb decision that you regret. Not, oh, I spilled coffee on the carpet or anything like that, but really making terrible choices when you know and when someone has told you, don't go down that road. Don't do that. Listen to the counsel of the Lord. And you say, no, I think this is better. And then consequences come. And it hurts. And it's hard. But then as children of God, we know that we confess our sins to God. And he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are restored once again. A heart after the Lord is one who desires to obey God. When somebody that we encounter in our lives says, yes, I'm a Christian. Yeah, sure, you know, I know Jesus. Well, tell me a little bit about your life. And there is no Bible reading in their life, and there's no church in their life. In no way, shape, or form. Well, that person is in no way, shape, or form a Christian. Being disobedient to God is a life, a way of life. In the same way, children, seek to obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Listen to, respond to what your parents are teaching, what they're encouraging, and what they are warning you in the Lord, according to God's word. For it is right. Four reasons, children, to obey your parents. Well, it is right. We really don't need to go further than that, do we? It's right. God says it is right, therefore it's right. It's righteous, this word right, it is righteous, just, correct. God determines what's right and wrong, what is good and evil. Obeying your parents is pleasing to God. Disobeying your parents, displeasing to God. Choose this day whom you will serve. God or yourself, and deal with the consequences. Secondly, reasons children ought to obey their parents in the Lord. It is right, and it is in the Lord. Obey as the Lord instructs. The commands from Scripture. Principles from Scripture. That is, it is in obedience to God. It is a Christian duty. Thirdly, it's couched in a divine command. It is couched in a divine command. God specifically commands that you not only obey, but honor them. See verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Paul quotes from the fifth commandment. Just for good measure, I'm going to go to the Ten Commandments for a moment to remind us of these. You shall have no other gods before me. Think of this. Use this right now, everyone in here, as a mirror. Use this now. Hear God's word. Do you keep this? You shall have no other gods before me, says God. Worship no other but me, says God. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Idols of the heart, or even a graven image, and worship that. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Using his word as inappropriately as God did not intend in it, or using his word as a cuss word or curse word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged. You shall not murder. Has anyone in this room killed anyone? Murdered someone? How about been angry in your heart with them without just cause? Unrighteous anger. Well, Jesus would expound on this in the Gospel of Matthew, and he would say, you're a murderer at heart. You should not commit adultery. Even if you look at a woman with lust, Jesus would say, you've committed adultery already with her in her heart, in your heart. You shall not steal. Steal from work. Steal from the store. Steal from your parents. Steal from your family. Steal from God. What's his? You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. Lying about your neighbor. You should not covet what your neighbor has. Saying, I wish I had that, and he has that, and that's not right. So if we look at just a few of those, if we've broken one, we've broken them all. The Ten Commandments are not the Ten Suggestions. God gave us Ten Commandments for all to obey. Keep them all and you're all set. Problem is, none of us can keep them. No, not one. That's the point. The law is a mirror to show us how sinfully we really are. Paul himself says that he would not have come to know sin but by the law. The Ten Commandments is the moral law meant for God's children as well to obey, different from the ceremonial and civil laws in the Old Testament. The moral law, the Ten Commandments, ought to drive one to see their utter sinfulness before a holy God, saying, this is what God says. No way, no shape or form can I keep any of these. Even if I thought I could keep one of these, I disobeyed one. I fall short. I need Jesus Christ. I need the one who obeyed the law perfectly, the one who was without sin, the one who was fully God and fully man, who came to this earth, who died on a tree so that I may have life. That is the one we must look to. And as a Christians, we ought to obey. We must obey the word of God, and we know we fall short. That's why we must confess and repent and get right again. We see in the Gospels Jesus expounding on the moral law, don't we? The Ten Commandments drive sinners to Christ. The Ten Commandments for Christians to obey. And specifically where we are this morning in Exodus 20, as Paul quotes from this commandment, to honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God gives you. It's also repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor your father and your mother, that the Lord God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. This word honor, another imperative, another command. Show respect to. give recognition to, revere as Hendrickson says, all selfish obedience or reluctant obedience, obedience under terror, is immediately ruled out. Obedience brings blessing. That's the point of this verse. It will be better for you. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be prolonged in the land. What does this mean? Does this mean everything is going to be fine in your life? And that you'll always be happy if you just honor your father and your mother? Does this mean that God is going to give you some land here on earth? No, this is a general promise, and it's not blanket assurance. Paul's making the point here that God blesses obedience, not disobedience. A general promise. Land, as we know, was very important in the Old Testament. Read about that in the book of Moses, with long life promised in the promised land. Paul here gives these words a wider meaning. Basically, as a general rule of thumb, children who obey their parents rather than rebelling are blessed by God by being restrained from what they could do and are, in general, happy and do well. Think about that, children. If your parents are trying to raise you, your mom and dad are trying to raise you in the fear and admonition of the Lord, if they're trying to do these things, trying to help you walk in the way of Christ, do you know this will help restrain you from being as wicked? And when you see someone, how could that person even do that? So wicked. You would do exactly the same thing if it wasn't by the grace of God. And so would I. So would I. It's only by God's grace that we are not out there and we are not doing all these murderous things. God is the one who changes hearts. But this, as we see, the parents raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and it's in kids will generally be happy and do well, being blessed by God. This is not always the case. Some children will honor mom and dad that will be obedient, and they'll die at a young age. While some turn out wicked and live to an old age. But also understand this, children. Young folks, no matter how much you do what your parents tell you to do, no matter how much of a good kid you are or a sweet child you may be, you too will one day stand before God, not on your behavior, but on what you did with Jesus Christ. Who is he to you, I would ask? Obeying your parents as they obey Christ, listening to instruction by your parents, is for your own good. A lot of times kids don't see it that way. They would say, no, this isn't for my own good. That's why they disobey, because they want to do their own thing. But it's for your own good. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, I'll just read it for you. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. This is a warning for those who are being peer pressured in, saying, hey, do this. And I don't know, mom and dad said not to do that. Oh, you listen to that? That is a gateway into other things, that will take you down roads you never want to go down. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause, this deviousness here. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole, as those who go down into the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw your lot with us, they say. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood, says Proverbs 1. And in Proverbs 6, I'll read this for you as well, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life, says the Word of God. Children, it is way better for you to obey God than to disobey God. Telling the truth instead of lying, that honors God, and it honors your parents. Telling the truth is mature. It's a mature thing to do. Saves yourself and your family from much grief and heartache. And kids, if you're prone to lying, the scripture says, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, which is the second death. If that's not enough to keep you from lying, in Revelation 21. But there's grace and there's hope in Christ alone. For the child as well, for the young one as well, for what the world says, adolescent, for the teenager. Secondly, the responsibility of the parents. We looked at what the children are to do. Honor and obey your mother and your father. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. As Colossians 3:21 says similar, fathers, do not exasperate your children, cause them to be embittered, so that they will not lose heart. Paul again uses the father. Again, the father is to be the shepherd, the spiritual head of the home, but this instruction applies to the mothers as well. Do not provoke your children to anger. Cause them to be angry or bitter or discouraged. Does that mean, parents, that if they're doing something wrong, they're doing something ungodly, and you say, we must step in and stop this, and they get angry, you shouldn't do that because I don't want to make my child angry. That's not what this means. If they get angry because you tell them to do something according to the will of God, that indeed is a heart issue on their part. And you must shepherd them through that. Provoking them. Okay, provoking your children to become angry. Under this, some examples. Causing them to be angry or bitter, discouraged. Provoking them with unreasonable demands. Unreasonable demands. Making fun of them. Now, it's different if we're joking around with your kids, you're joking around with them, but making fun of them, embarrassing them for a good laugh, trying to compare them with another child from another family. Why don't you be more like Billy? I just picked that name up, so someone here, Billy, I'm not talking about you. Why don't you be more like Sally? Well, we don't know what Billy and Sally's like at home, do we? We don't know what's going on in their heart, do we? Ways to provoke them to anger as well, parents. Drill sergeants. Left, right, stand straight. My dad used to tell me, hold your fork right. This drill sergeant way about you. No. But also, you don't want to be overly disciplined, rigid, stand there, don't move. You understand. or under discipline, like the hippie or something that just says, hey man, do what you want. We go with the Bible and we seek to avoid extremes. We say, what does the scripture say? There are some bizarre child training tools out there that claim to be Christian that are just downright unchristian and bizarre. Awful. Other ways to provoke your children to anger. Overprotection. Overprotection. Notice I did not say protecting your children. I said overprotection. If we do this, we are lacking trust in God to care for them. Fencing them in an area that never grows. The fence never grows out. Fencing them in. Sheltering. As they grow older, coddling them. Mothers, let me tell you something from experience. One of the worst things you can do for your son is to coddle them when they grow older. When they're teenagers and when they're young men. Also, policing them instead of shepherding them. Discouraging them. And we all as parents fall short in these things. We understand that. There's no perfect parents in this room, to which we all would say amen to that. Harsh treatment of them, though, verbally, mentally, emotionally, and physically. I'm not even talking about the extremes. This may lead, though, to angry and bitter children. Now, we know every parent is different. Every situation in a family is different. Every child is different. Each family has different convictions. Not that they form somewhere else, but that they form by the Word of God. I suggest two resources for you for further help and learning on child raising, child training and such. Well, if someone's got 5, 6, 7 kids and they're walking with the Lord, I mean, there you go. Let's ask them too, right? But Shepherding a Child's Heart and Age of Opportunity, these are by the Tripp Brothers. I can't remember which one is which, but there's copies out there as well. Please consider reading these books if you're raising a small child or if you're raising a teenager. Or you're going to be raising a teenager, you need all the help you can get. Parents, when you sin against your children, though, in these areas of, or in any areas, but in areas of raising them and making them, causing them to be angry, confess your sins to them. Get right with them. Let them know where you have fallen short. You go to them. You model Christ before them. You do what you can on your part, especially if they're older children, approaching adulthood or maybe even adult children. You do what you can on your part. Bringing them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord, it is an absolute must that we have a biblical worldview. We must have a biblical worldview. We must train our children to have a biblical worldview. God instructs us how to live. We, therefore, instruct our children from that same standard of how to live. We remember that God disciplines his children. We see that in Hebrews 12, at least. So we also, in instructing our children, shepherding our children, and disciplining our children. The Proverbs are clear. I'll just give you these references. Proverbs 13, 24. Proverbs 22, 15. Some of you parents have these memorized. But it speaks of discipline as applying the rod to the child. Martin Luther says, spare the rod, spoil the child, that is true. But beside the rod, keep an apple to give him when he has done well. See the balance there. today we wouldn't necessarily be an apple. They would say this is further punishment. Give them a candy bar or whatnot. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 instructs us well. I imagine this is a familiar verse to some of you. Deuteronomy 6, or to most of you. Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. These words which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by in the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The things of the Lord at all times, as you're going, parents. As you're going, as they are growing, the Word of God filtering through, threading it through. Family devotions, we mentioned that. We talked a little bit about that. Scripture around the house. They go into different rooms. They go into the restroom. What do they see? Proverbs so-and-so. Using teachable moments. There's nothing like a teachable moment in our lives as parents as well, any of our lives. Modeling what it means to be a Christian. The good and the mountaintops and the valleys. All in all, discipling your family. A gospel-centered life. Pointing to Christ. Gospel-centered, Christ-centered life. Parents, your children are a blessing from God. Your children are your responsibility as well. Responsible to raise them in the things of the Lord. Yet, some children go astray. They are, after all, their own person. They are responsible before God as well. When a child goes away, denies the faith, lives as an unbeliever, it is not necessarily the fault of the parents, nor the church. Adam and Eve's first child was Cain. He didn't turn out as planned, did he? He was a murderer. We love our children. We train our children. We discipline our children. We shepherd our children. But we cannot save our children. Parents, don't lose hope. If you have a wayward child, don't lose hope. Stay on your face before God. Don't lose hope. While there is still air to breathe, while they are still living, and while they are still breathing, pray for them. Pray that God would bring someone in their life to minister to them if they won't listen to you. And that one day, maybe, one day, you'll be standing there on the porch as the father or the mother, and there they'll come down the driveway. Or one day you'll get that phone call, and they'll say, "It's real, I'm born again. I've been saved." Here's something from what the theologian Hamilton says. Fathers and mothers are God's appointed representatives to exercise authority in his home, his authority in the home. Refusal to obey and honor parents is rebellion against God. Parents are not perfect and will make mistakes. But children can cope with their parents' failures when they see how much their parents love them. Parents need to ask themselves, am I making it easy for my children to honor and obey me. Ultimately, obedience is about the heart. Children go astray from what they were taught because of heart issues, what they were taught from the Word of God. Children raised in the church become adults and leave the church, refuse going to church anymore, make excuses. It is a heart issue. Let me get your attention, please. It is a heart issue. When they grow up, rebel, and reveal themselves to be prodigals, it's a heart issue. There is nothing more important this day than the Word of God and then worshiping God. Not what comes 15, 20 minutes from now. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes the flesh his strength. Let us never make the flesh our strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in a desert, and he will not see when prosperity comes, but he will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord." Is that you today? Is the Lord your trust? Is he your trust? "For he will be like a tree planted by the water, oh, that extends its roots from a stream, and he will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will not, his leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else." Your heart, my heart, deceitful more than all else. Who can understand it? "I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the mind to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds." If we look at the heart, we see the heart examiner strikes again. But we see in the Old Testament as well. We see it's God who gives from the heart of stone. He gives a heart of flesh, doesn't he? And he gives us a new spirit, and he gives us the Holy Spirit, and he gives us a new heart. And he changes our life when we embrace Christ. And we all are to look like they did in the days of Moses when he made the object out of bronze when they were bitten by snakes and they were going to die. And he says, "Look, look, just as we look to Christ and be saved and are saved from our sins." We look to Christ and are saved. I would challenge everyone in here. I would plead with anyone in here who does not know Christ. You see, maybe on the news, those flames in California and out west. You see the fire burning. That's child's play compared to hell, the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth away from the blessings of God. Or say, "God, I don't want this heart of stone anymore. I want a heart of flesh. Save me. Save me, Christ. Jesus, I need you." Children, obey your parents. Honor and respect them. And when you fail doing that, as you will, and we all do, get right with them. Apologize and confess to them. Parents, raise your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And don't provoke them to be angry. And when you do, confess your sin to them. Get right with them. Let us pray. Father, where we are all called to obey your word. And we all know we disobey your word. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your kindness towards us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank you for every blessing that you give us, Lord. Thank you that you hear the prayers of those whom you redeem. You are a loving God. You love us. Help us to love you more and more, Lord, and to love our neighbor, to love our families, and to never give up hope, because our hope is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.